Well, good morning, everyone. So good to see you all this morning. Welcome to SBC, Sittingbourne Baptist Church. Welcome to the house of the Lord. You are so welcome. And we pray that you will be sincerely blessed today by this service. If you are here today and this is your first time here at SBC, we want to extend a special warm welcome to you. You are so welcome. And after the service, you'll be more than welcome again to join us in the church lounge, where we'll have teas and coffees, and there's also the odd biscuit floating around. And we just have, and cake as well, yes. Plenty of cake around, so you'd be welcome to join us for fellowship after the service. Now, the choir just blessed us with a wonderful piece there, Blessed Be Your Name. And it really fits in perfectly with today's message and the sermon that the Lord has laid on my heart. As we look again at the story of Job, and we're going to be focusing on how Job was able to be restored. Everything that he lost, he was able to recover all, some double fold. And we're going to be focusing on that this morning, that with God we can bounce back. How many of you believe that? With God, you can bounce back. And of course, we're about to launch into a very special week for the country. This is the start of the coronation week for King Charles. And we're going to pray for our country and for our king. And we're going to commit this nation to the Lord in prayer. And perhaps over the course of this week, we will be hearing several rounds of God save the King. God save the King. God save our gracious King. God save our noble King. Send him victorious, happy and glorious, long to reign over us. God save our King. But there's also another king, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And the difference with the King of Kings is we don't need to sing or pray, God save the King, to our King, the King of Kings. He doesn't need to be saved from anything, because he can never be impeached. He can never die. His reign is from everlasting to everlasting. And that's why we're here together to celebrate and to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Before I pray and before we come to a time of worship, I want you to just fix your attention to the screen. And we're going to watch a brief video which really fits in well with the message that we're going to share today. So over to the screen. technology providing.
Acts chapter 16, verse 25 and 26. Paul and Silas are in jail worshiping. How do you worship in jail? How do you worship when you're stuck in a place you don't want to be? How do you worship when there's no escape from the problem you're in? It says they worshiped in jail, and suddenly, out of nowhere, there was an earthquake that shook open the door. I wish I could tell you how much longer you're going to have to wait for your change to come. I wish I could tell you how much longer they're going to be treating you bad on your job, treating you bad in that situation you're in, and you're trying to please God and be righteous. I wish I could tell you what the waiting game is in the plan of God. I cannot tell you because there are too many pieces of this puzzle. There are too many people. There are too many things going on. What I can tell you is you will know when God shows up, bam, because it'll be suddenly. In so many unexpected ways. Yeah, sometimes God lets it get worse before he lets it get better. Sometimes he takes you all the way to the end. He takes you to rock bottom so you can discover he's the rock at the bottom.
To let you know that he's the rock at the bottom. In every season of our lives, we are called to worship him, to live for him, not just when the sun is shining like today, but even in those low moments in our lives. That is when we should not run away from God, but we should run even closer to God. So as we worship together this morning, perhaps you will be worshipping today to come now and to worship you. Lord, we know, as we've just watched from that video clip, that there are times in all of our lives when we do feel like it's rock bottom. But thank you, just like Job, that you will never leave nor forsake us, that you are always there. There's nowhere we could ever go where we could not find you there. So Lord, as we come to worship you now, we pray in spite of the trials, in spite of what is not so good in our lives, in spite of what we're facing right now, we pray that we would be able to leave everything in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand and sing together if you're able to stand with us. If you'd like to remain seated, that's fine. Ascribe greatness to our God, the rock, followed by reign in me over all the earth. And we're going to just worship God without any interruption. And we're just going to give him the glory, the honor, and the praise. Let's worship him together. doctor's or the hospital this week, you have an appointment upcoming in the next few weeks, I want you to know that my God shall supply all of your needs. Amen. According to his riches in glory. If there's a situation in your life and you're wondering, how am I gonna make it through this? I don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. My God shall supply all of your needs. Doesn't say that he will supply all of your wants. But he will supply all of your needs. And my God is rich. He has riches beyond this world could ever comprehend. He's able to supply all of our needs. Let's pray together. Those of you who want to just lead us in a prayer of thanks, adoration to God, and please do lead us at this time. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes. Yeah. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Thank you, Lord. Wisdom and power. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Amen. As you take your seats in the presence of the Lord, you know, one of the things that's dear to my heart, and the worship team will know this, is I firmly believe, in, as we worship lead and we seek to lead the service, that we must always make room for the Holy Spirit to move. It's not about me, it's not about the band up here. We want the Holy Spirit to have his way. And I strongly sense that whatever you stand in need of today, I want you to leave this place knowing and taking to heart that my God shall supply all of my needs. The band are going to lead us in the song, Holy Spirit, We Welcome You. And I want him just to play that instrumentally a few times, and I want us just to pause in our seats. We're just going to allow the Holy Spirit just free course, and whatever you need to just bring before God in prayer, just in the still small voice, allow him now to come and to minister to you today. Holy Spirit, we welcome you. We welcome you. we welcome the Holy Spirit of God unreservedly to come and have his way. Amen. Friends, as we continue to worship God, I'm going to allow our children and young people to prepare to leave. But before they do so, are any of our young people, children, having the joy of a birthday in and around this week? Anyone experiencing a birthday? Oh, come on up. Come on up. How old are you, Alana? You're going to be 7 on Thursday. Wow. Wow. Special week, isn't it? Are you looking forward to being 7? Yeah? Are you going to have a party? Going to trampolining, bowling, and Nando's. Wow. Wow. Amazing. Birthday as well? Wow, I got 2. When's your birthday? Oh, wow. Come on up. I think this is the record, worship team. What's your name, young man? Menachi. And when is your birthday? Wednesday. Wow, amazing. And how old are you going to be? 14. Wow. Special. Good. Good. Well, we wish you all a very happy birthday. Now, if you would like to take a gift from the church, now I know, Menachi, I don't know if there's something there you would like, but you are more than free to, all of you, you're more than free to take something from the birthday. You're looking at me saying, no, this is too cool for this, man. I just can't do it. But you can take something from the church, and we're going to sing happy birthday to you. And we pray God's blessings on you as you enjoy the blessing of a birthday. Let's sing. You may take your seats. Oh, yeah, you can take the present if you want. Badminton. And football. Now, Alana, make sure you save me some chicken, okay? I want some Nando's chicken for me, okay? Thank you. All right, we're going to allow our children and young people to leave us now. Enjoy your groups learning more about Jesus. As we come to a time of prayer, as I mentioned at the start of the week, we're going to pray for this week's proceedings around the nation and for the coronation of King Charles. And we really want to pray that this nation and King Charles will lead in the ways of Christ. That's what we want. This nation needs more of Christ. And the firm foundation that his late mum had led for so many years around this nation and across the Commonwealth, ensuring that the Christian faith was at the center of her reign. We're going to pray that for her son now, that he too would look to the Lord Jesus and to faith in God to lead him as he provides leadership to this nation. So let's come together now to pray at this time. Father, we are so grateful that you indeed call kings, rulers, and you put people in authority to accomplish your purpose. But Lord, we do recognize that there are times when leaders can lead contrary to your will and contrary to your word. And we are living in very challenging times where your word is being watered down, where Christian principles that have long been a beacon of hope and light around this nation for many a centuries, but are now being questioned. And we do pray for King Charles, that Lord, as he is installed and officially coronated, that Father, you would have his hands on him, that you would anoint him afresh from the crown of his head to the soles of his very feet. We pray that at the core of his reign, that he would look to you, that he would seek you for wisdom, seek you for counsel, that he would not be swayed too much by the voices that would try to implement things that are contrary to your will and to your word. But I pray that you would give him boldness, that he may stand unreservedly for you. And we pray for this nation on a whole. We pray, Lord, that you would have your hand on this nation. Lord, we know that there are many challenges in and around, Lord, this nation. But we thank you that you are sovereign over all, that you are in control of all things. And yes, Lord, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the whole world and they that dwell therein. It all belongs to you. And Lord, we do pray. We pray that the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel message will continue, Lord, to spread across this nation, to touch many lives. And yes, Lord, we do pray for our town here in Sittingbourne, that a revival would sweep this town like never before. And men and women and boys and girls would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And Lord, we do pray, Lord, for those who teach in the schools implemented now are so far away from your truth. But we pray that the church would continue to stand up, even in the darkness, to be bold, to be courageous, and to walk and follow in the ways of the Lord. So we commit this nation and our King to you now, for your glory and for your honor. And finally, Lord, I pray, Lord, for us locally, for anyone in our congregation at this time who are not well in body, who are going through various trials and obstacles in their life. I pray, Lord, that they may know afresh today that you are indeed Jehovah Jireh, that you are their provider, and you are always there for them. We pray your healing hand will be upon their bodies now. And Lord, when it's all said and done, we'll be careful not to look at ourselves, but we will look to you, the author and the perfecter of our faith. We commit everything to you now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to stand together and sing just before we come to a time to hear the word of the Lord. We're going to sing the great hymn of the church, "It Is Well With My Soul."
Thank you.
Amen. Please do take your seats. Thank you to our worship team for leading us in worship this morning. I want to call your attention on this, the final sermon in our comeback series, Bouncing Back Comebacks, and we're going to be looking at Job 42. And we're going to commence reading from verse number 12. And I'll be reading from Eugene Peterson's Message paraphrase. It's a more contemporary reading of this passage. And it reads like this, Job chapter 42, final chapter, the book of Job. From verse 12 it reads, God blessed Job's later life even more than his earlier life. He ended up with 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 teams of oxen. He named the first daughter Dove, the second Cinnamon, and the third Dark Eyes. There was not a woman in that country as beautiful as Job's daughters. Their father treated them as equals, and their brothers providing the same inheritance. And Job lived on another 140 years, living to see his children and grandchildren, four generations of them. Then he died an old man, a full life. He died an old man, a full life. Today I'm asking the question, what is the recipe for bouncing back? What is the recipe? Is there a recipe for bouncing back in life? Friends, on Palm Sunday, we asked the question, is world peace even possible? But can we arrive at a place of total peace and stability in the world? And the answer that I submitted to you, from my opinion, from scripture, was that I didn't believe that we would ever get to a place where we'll see total, perfect peace on earth until the Lord Jesus Christ shall come and reign on the earth in what is called the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, where there'll be peace on earth. Secondly, we looked at the greatest comeback of all time on Easter Sunday. That Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God, was counted out as dead as a doornail. His critics believed that there was absolutely no chance that Jesus could be revived. But thanks be to God, no grave could hold his body down. And then we talked about how that very same resurrection, interesting slant, as I was watching you all on that Sunday. And then last week we looked at how Christ is able to save and forgive even those who are considered to be a total write-off, that his grace and his mercy can go beyond the lines that even us as humans create, that his grace reaches out to those who are been written off. But this morning, on this final sermon in our comeback series, today we are dealing with the question, how can I bounce back from adversity in my life? And I'm not talking merely from the perspective of moral failure or sin, but what do you do when life throws you lemons but you don't have the strength to make lemonade? And church, the main character in our text this morning, Job, he knows firsthand a thing or two about what it's like first sermon in our comeback series, Bottom. If Job was alive here and here with us this morning, he could share some insight, some personal experiences as to the process of what it takes to bounce back from adversity. And I want to encourage you all this morning, on this, the final sermon of this comeback series, I want to encourage those who feel like you are in need of a comeback in your life. You're in need of a bounce back. That maybe you need to get back to some sense of normality in your life. That maybe you need to get back on track, even in your marriage. Maybe you need to bounce back in your finances. Maybe there's a health challenge that you are facing right now, and you need God to intervene to help you bounce back so that you can get back on track. But I'm here to encourage you today that whatever you stand in need of today, be encouraged that just like Job, through faith in God, a bounce back in life is always possible. As Vashawn Mitchell puts it in his song, it won't always be like this. The Lord will perfect that concerning me. Sooner or later, things will turn in my favor because God is working it out for me. I'm here to encourage you today that all things work together. All things work together. Not just the good things, but even the miserable things. God has a way of working those things out for His glory and for your good. And for Job, church, we know that he's faced severe loss in his life. His oxen, his donkeys, his livestock were violently captured and taken away, causing the death of his servants. And now the very primary source of his income, Miles, was now gone. Just like that, taken away. Job, a rich man, a wealthy man, who was enjoying a lavish lifestyle. Now, just like that, because of satanic antagonism and the fact that God allowed and permitted it to be so for this period, Job was now experiencing a massive setback. Not only did he lose his primary source of income, but to make matters worse, his camels were hijacked. And then the greatest of all calamities would impact Job's life, that his own flesh and blood, his beloved children, were having a feast at one of the oldest siblings' house when suddenly a violent windstorm from the desert blew in, crushing all of his children, and they died. So his animals, his source of income was gone. His servants, his staff, the majority were gone. And now, to make matters worse, church, painful sores were beginning to break out all over his body, causing him tremendous pain. Job's life was at rock bottom. A man that once had it all, a man that was at the top of the ladder, was now experiencing suffering on a whole different level. But church, you know, one of the greatest lessons that I believe we learn from Job's story is simply this. That even if we were to lose everything that we have, just like Job, even if we were to arrive at rock bottom in our estimations, please understand this, that as long as you have God in your life, then you have more than enough to start all over again. As we sung today My God shall supply all of my needs. Regardless of what you've lost, church, please understand that you are a joint heir with Christ. That you are special in the eyes of God. And he takes no pleasure in inflicting suffering on his people. But what he can do, he can use suffering. He can use tests. He can use trials to prune us and to develop us. To develop our character and also to deepen our trust and our faith in him. Now, before I delve a little deeper into the spiritual angle of bouncing back, I also want to make clear that from a practical point of view, we must also say that it's important to recognize that when you are struggling in life, it's okay from a practical point of view to seek guidance and help from the right sources. After all, the Bible lets us know in the book of James that faith without works is dead. Yes, we must have trust in God to bounce back, but it's also okay to talk to people who can help. For example, it's okay if we're dealing with financial worries and struggles in your life, it's okay to have a chat with CAP, Christians Against Poverty. It's okay to seek guidance so they can help us to bounce back in the area of our finances. If we're struggling mentally, it's okay to get counsel. It's okay to find support groups so that we can be encouraged that we are not alone on this journey. However, for Job, we see here that Job was not afforded that luxury to be able to book an appointment with Christians Against Poverty. Job was not able to get an appointment and seek advice from the Citizens Bureau. He was not able to book an appointment with his local MP. Job never had technology. He was not able to go on Google and do a quick search, quick steps of how to bounce back in life. So Job, without all of the modern technology that we have today, without those support groups available in your day, how was you able to bounce back and live a full life and to enjoy your children and your grandchildren? How was you able to recover the loss that you experienced? How was you able to deal with the pressure and the negativity in your own life, when even your friends and your wife, they turned their backs on you? How did you bounce back, Job? Well, I want to leave these 3 points from the text that I believe Job can speak to all of us today to let us know that we too can bounce back. And yes, we can get support from those in this life, but also we can go to God and he can help us. But the first thing we have to do, number one, is we have to recognize our dependence in God. Can we say that together? Recognize our dependence, yes, in God. Now, there was in the late 90s, in the early 2000s, there was a pop group, an R&B group by the name of Destiny's Child. Some of you will be familiar with that group. And Destiny's Child, they released a song many years ago now entitled Independent Women. Independent Women. It was a song to champion the cause of feminism. And the pre-chorus of the song is an interesting one, but it's also an ideology that many people live by today. It simply says, here it is, the shoes on my feet, I bought them. The clothes that I'm wearing, I bought them. The rock on my finger, which means the ring, the bling bling that I'm wearing, I bought them because I depend on me. The watch that I'm wearing, I bought it. The house that I live in, I bought it. The car that I'm driving, I bought it. And then it closes out by saying, I depend on me. Now, there's some real theological problems with that song. Now, for Job, there's no evidence at all to suggest that his wealth and his riches had led him to become arrogant and prideful. After all, we know that Job was an upright man. In fact, the Bible says he was perfect. So that was not the case for Job. But for many today, there are examples of when money and comfortable lifestyles can cause and lead people to think that everything that they have and own is solely based on themselves. Even to the point when they no longer look to God anymore. Many can live their lives today as if there's no need for God. Why do I need to worship God when I have money in the bank? Why do I need to live for God when anything that I want, I can just go and buy it, Carol? Many people today who are perhaps at the top of the ladder may ask the question, why do I need God? I depend on myself. I don't need a God to depend on. I'll never forget some years ago, and some of you know I love the sport of boxing as well, and there was a Christian boxer by the name of Tyson Fury, and after his one of his victories in America, I was reading on Twitter some comments, and Tyson Fury, after the boxing match, he made this statement. He said, first, I would like to give all the glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life. I dedicate this victory to my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. And then I looked on the comments, and some were saying, why, Tyson, are you giving credence and reference to Jesus when you were the one that was in the ring? You were the one who trained for months on end for the victory. You were the one who sacrificed time. You were the one who did those long jogs. Why are you giving glory to Jesus? We don't need to give glory to God. It was you, Tyson. But I believe Tyson was in good ground and in good theology. Because just like Tyson, all of us know, despite of the blessings that we have in this life, and despite of what we may have amassed through hard work and dedication, we recognize that although, yes, we may have gone to work to earn that income, but we recognize, like Paul, that it's in him that we live, we move, and we have our very being. We depend on God, Brian. And we must always live our lives with that understanding that we depend on God. We can never allow arrogance and pride to make us think that it's all about us. And church, sometimes God can use even suffering and trials, tribulations, not in every case, because sometimes we think that all trials and tribulations is the result of something wrong that someone may have done. That's not the case. But there are times where God can use suffering and trials in order to get through to the person, to make them turn to God and say, God, I need you. Because could it be that they're living their lives each day without no recognition of God whatsoever? And in order for God to get through to the person, he has to take back some of the luxuries, take back some of the comfortabilities, take back some of the things that we are looking to in order that we can say, hold on a minute, what am I going to do now that I don't have it? God, I look to you. So we have to depend on God. We have to recognize our dependence in Him. But not only does Job teach us that if we want to bounce back, we have to recognize our dependence on God, but secondly, we have to reaffirm our commitment to God. In verse 4, he says, in verse 5, my ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and I repent in dust and in ashes. When you read all of chapter 42, you'll discover that Job gets to the point where he says, God, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I even doubted. I'm sorry that I asked you so many questions. Because you will learn in the previous chapters, Job begins to ask questions to God. And then God flips it and turns it around and says, since you want to ask me questions, let me ask you some questions, Job. Where were you when I created the heavens and the earth? Where were you when I created man out of the dust of the ground and I breathed into him the breath of life? Where were you, Job, that you can question me? Job says, God, I'm sorry. I want to reaffirm my commitment to you. I want to reaffirm my life and rededicate my life to you. And friends, I want to encourage you today that yes, you may be saying, Nathan, I need to bounce back in my life. I need to get back on track, whatever it needs, whatever the situation is for you. But first of all, can I encourage you, ask God, is there something lacking in my faith, in my spiritual journey with you? Is there something that needs to be removed, that needs to come out of me? Something that is displeasing to you? Is there something that I am holding on to that I need you to forgive? In moments of suffering and pain and trials, it's in those moments we can reaffirm our commitment to God. And as I mentioned before, suffering is not always a direct indication of personal sin. But we do see that in times when we're going through challenges in our lives, there is an opportunity for us to search within our hearts and to see if there is a need to repent and turn back to God. So recognize our dependence in God. Reaffirm our commitment to God. But third and finally today, resolve to serve God in spite of adversity. Resolve to serve God in spite of adversity. I'll never forget a man, young man by the name of DJ. We used to call him DJ, and he was a young man when I was in the youth group growing up in church, was a gifted and anointed preacher. I mean, whenever he stood to minister the word of the Lord, it was just powerful, so impactful. And then, you know, there were so much high hopes for this young man in ministry. He became a minister and was serving alongside one of his older brothers and who is in ministry as well. And I remember we got news that DJ was experiencing now a very, very critical health condition that would render him debilitated, not being able to be mobile anymore. It would affect his speech. He was no longer able now to stand with such clarity and boldness to proclaim the word of God. And I remember as a youngster and our friends just thinking, wow, why? Why, God, would you allow someone like DJ, who gave his life to you, serving you, honoring you, preaching your word with power and authority, but now his life has completely changed as a result of this health condition. The cancer asks the question, why, Lord? Why is it that you would do that? Why did this happen for DJ? But one of the things that blessed me is although DJ was no longer able to stand and preach, Mark, as he used to, but yet still, every youth conference, he was there. Right at the front, in his wheelchair, praising God, still living for him, still wanting to be involved and to do what he could with what the Lord had blessed him with. Could no longer run around and preach with power and authority, but he still wanted to serve God. Still was there to encourage people and inspire people. Why? Because DJ lets us know that in all of our lives, we have to resolve to serve God in spite of adversity. I would love to stand up here and promise you all that you're going to have no more pain in your life, that you're going to have prosperity and riches and everything's going to be okay. No more need for the doctor. But if I did that, I would be lying. But what I do know is this, that God can give us such a tenacity that in spite of what we are facing in our lives, we can still serve him. That is the level of faith that I want to always espouse to live by. Not just when things are good in my life, but even at my lowest, I don't want to turn away, but I want to live for him. So what is the recipe for bouncing back in life? I don't have 5 quick steps to success for you. But what I do have from this biblical account is that with God, regardless of what you have lost, with God, you have enough to start all over again. Job can testify that although he lost his children, although he lost his business, although he lost his wealth, although he was inflicted with such pain in his body, but Job 42 lets us know that he was able to live a long life and God restored everything, double everything that he lost. He received it back. What a mighty God we serve. But then finally, in closing, I want to say this. Well, Nathan, that's good for Job. He recovered everything. But what if I'm not seeing that for me? When am I going to recover everything? Nathan, there's some things that I've lost that it's not possible for me to recover. Okay. But here's my encouragement to you from the Apostle Paul. If this tabernacle, this earthly house, if it were to be destroyed, we have another building. A building of God that is not made by human hands. Here it is. It is eternal in the heavens. That's why he could say, if I live, it's Christ, but if I die, it's gain. So even if my circumstances in life, health conditions take me out of this life down here, because of my connection to Christ, sickness may destroy the body, but sickness cannot destroy my soul. Because I'm going to a building that's not made with human hands. But my eternal destiny is secure because of my relationship with Jesus Christ. And I don't know about you, but I'm looking forward to that day when we'll all get to heaven. And what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we will sing and shout the victory. No more cancer, no more diabetes, no more high blood pressure, no more appointments at the doctors. There'll be no more need for it all. We'll be eternally in the presence of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we will forever be at peace. So yes, with God, I can recover all down here on earth. But if I don't, I'm going to a place where there's no need for any more work or jobs to make a living. Because my God will supply all of my needs. I'm looking forward to that day. As we come to a time of prayer, and I let you go. I'm going to let you go, don't worry. Like Job, I really want you to leave today in faith, believing that God is able to allow you to experience a bounce back. If you're here today and you need prayer, I want us to pray for you today. And again, our prayer corner will be open and our prayer partners will be there. And you know, if you are sick in your body, you know, one of the things we need to do more of, we need to take the word of the Lord really at hand. In the book of James, the Bible says, if there be any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the assembly. And deacons, we need to do more of that. We need to anoint people with oil and pray for them. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick and they shall recover. That's the word of God. Do we believe in the word of God? So if you need prayer, please don't be afraid. We're here. If you would like us to pray for you, I'll be available as well. Yeah, we'll pray for you. We'll get the oil and we'll anoint you in the name of the Lord. Whatever you're facing today, you can recover all, just like Job. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful for your word. And Lord, we don't just want to receive it, but we want to live by it. So Lord, would you stir us now? Would you increase our faith to trust you in those seasons when it seems like we are at rock bottom? Help us like Job, that although you may slay us, yet will we trust you. Thank you that as we sung earlier from the choir, that you give and you take away. But our response is still, blessed be the name of the Lord. We're in this for good. We're not just in this as a glory hunter supporter that only supports you when we're winning. But we're in this through thick and thin. We trust you even in adversity because you are the great I am. And you are sovereign over all. And we thank you that you have called us for such a time as this. And you take much pride in looking after your children. You care for us in a very special way. And I pray today that your people would leave knowing your care and protection for them. That even in seasons of adversity, that you are very near. And with you, yes, with you, we can bounce back. From whatever is holding us back, whatever has us down, we can bounce back with you at the helm. So we trust you and we look to you now. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Our worship team are coming back as we close out the service. Amen. 11:50. Dear oh me. I'm so sorry, church. 11:50. Amen. Next week, come. We're going to be out on time next week. But I think you sense the Lord was really moving today in this service, and we want to give more room to the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. After all, there's nothing on telly now anyway, so we can stay in the presence of God. Amen. Amen. We're going to return to song. And as we close out the service today, again, I want to encourage you that with God, all things are possible and you can experience a bounce back. Faithful One. We're going to sing together. Faithful One. So unchanging. Friends, as we prepare to leave now, again, please do join us for fellowship and teas and coffees in the church lounge. Josh, so good to see you, Josh. You're going to meet me down after for baptismal class. Josh is going to be baptized shortly, and we give God thanks for Josh. And also, if anyone else wants to be baptized, please do come and speak to me. So we're going to be opening up the pool very soon, and we're going to celebrate baptism. And if you would like to be baptized, then please do come and speak to me, and we will look forward to sharing more about baptism with you. Also, this evening, We have our mission evening, and you'll be more than welcome to come and to hear from our guest who will be with us. Graham, did you want to come and say something quickly about this? Just briefly.
Completely unrehearsed. Do you want to sit down? David Basington is the administrator for Through Faith Missions. I haven't actually known him since I left as a team member, and about 18 months later he came on board to Through Faith Missions. I was a team member with them for about 10 years and went out on mission, and all I can say is, wow. If you want to know how to express your faith, come tonight. Thank you.
Thank you, Graham. Certainly we look forward to this evening. As we receive the benediction now, I want to also encourage any of our younger men who are here, young people, young ladies. Some of our younger adults have starting to whip me into shape, and training camp has started for me, and I'm training for my wedding, and I'm trying to get in shape, and this week we had a good time and just working out and then just talking about the Lord, and it's just been a really, really fruitful time of mentorship for me and some of our younger people. And if you want to come and exercise with us, you know, we're going to be doing different things. We've been going to the gym and you know, I'm going to start doing some jogging and some walks, and this can be for all ages. You say, well, Nathan, I can't go to the gym, I can't lift weights. That's okay. We can do a prayer walk together. You know, the times are changing, it's getting nice and warm outside. Let's be active together and pray together and do more things together. So if you want to be involved, come and talk to me after, and we'd love to arrange some things for you that we can just be together and just get a coffee, have a walk, and just enjoy each other's company. It's been really refreshing. I really mean that. JJ and Timothy, we're just having a wonderful time. So soon you'll see me. I'm going to be in shape, I promise. It's good to laugh. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for all that we have shared today and we've experienced from you in your presence. We thank you that you have given us this assured faith and confidence that even when we experience setbacks in our lives, that with you it's not over until you say so. And we thank you that we can continue to look to you and you will guide us in the way that we should go. Lord, until we meet again, we pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with each and every one of us now, as well as forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.